The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Pollard streaks in. Touchdown. Parsons has sacked it. Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it into the touchdown.
And now your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Nick Harris, John Mashoda, and Kyle Yeomans.
It's a Thursday edition of Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. Hope you're awake and ready to roll, because we have some defense to talk about today. It's the Cowboys offense and the 49ers defense in a matchup on Sunday Night Football. That's what we'll preview today. We'll have Isaiah's scouting report and QB vision coming up in about 15 minutes. But until then, we would love to talk to you on the phone line, 888-855-2297. We may take one call today, maybe in that final segment, just because this is a different week. This is different. It's got a good feeling around it. If you can't get on the phone line, shoot us a text, 817-290-3298. Gentlemen, how we doing today?
Doing great. Could not complain.
I like the jacket, by the way.
Thanks, man. Made a little run to the pro shop. You feel me?
Yeah.
Oh.
The pro shop?
Yep.
Was that just hanging on the rack, or did they pull that out of the back for you?
It was. It was on the rack.
They said, Nick Harris is in here, and they just pulled it right out of it. They had like a golden bag around
it.
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah, I couldn't quite get the John Mashoda classic, but they have like a whole specific store just for him in there.
That is very kind of them.
Yeah. The man is wearing Nike on the hat, and he's got the Under Armour on the jacket.
I will say this right now. This is probably the only Under Armour thing I own. I am
really
hardcore Nike.
I was about to say, you usually rock the Nike.
Always Nike. Yeah. This is the only thing that I own. I got it for training camp. It fit okay. I was like, all right. Almost did one of those things where you put the tape over it. I'm very loyal to Nike.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I just like their stuff. Yeah.
And you're wearing,
do you know Phil?
I don't, but
I was going to tell you, just check.
Phil I know someone who does. Just. I know someone who does.
Yeah?
Yeah, there isn't many days where I'm not wearing either Nike or Jordan brand, one of the two. So.
Yeah, and he's got some of the best shoe game I've ever seen, just by the way.
Oh, money, man.
Can't hide it. You're wearing the quarter zip. It's a little chillier outside. You've got a jacket on. Mm-hmm. You've got the quarter zip. The rain and the cold front kind of came through last night. Instead of being 95, it's only 80 today.
I think we're done.
You think so?
I think we're done with the heat.
I think there's one more 90
in the
forecast.
We might be done
in another week at least.
So mad. I just cut my yard before that storm came.
I know. Yep. So it's wrecked right now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was an umbrella in my backyard whenever I walked outside this morning, just like wanted to check and make sure, and there was just like a rainbow umbrella just sitting there.
Nice.
Just right in the middle. Yeah. So I don't know, I'm probably just put it right in the middle.
I'm just picturing Isaiah's backyard just being like just this acres of acres.
It's
got a lake. Yeah.
Definitely not.
He's got a putting green out there.
Yeah.
My house
got a park
to another house. Let everybody know exactly what kind of neighborhood I'm staying in.
You said what?
I said we share driveways in my neighborhood.
Do you?
So yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's a regular neighborhood. Regular little suburban neighborhood.
Okay. You got that personal gym in the garage, though. I know that.
That's not mine. It's the wife's.
His backyard backs up to Dak's field.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
He's got like
that's the driveway.
I never got those checks.
He's got like a 9-hole par 3 out back.
That's awesome. Yet. All right, Nick, what's some news and notes around this Cowboys team as they continue to prepare for San Fran?
Well, we'll start on the gloomy side, I guess. Yesterday, being Wednesday, set a season high for the most players on the injury report. Granted, there were a couple that were on there just for rest reasons, but let's go down this laundry list. Damone Clark, linebacker, shoulder injury limited yesterday. Rico Dowdle, who bruised his hip against the Patriots, did not practice yesterday. He was working with the rehab group during the media portion, at least, with Britt Brown, director of rehabilitation. Chuma Edoga, with his knee that he's been battling for a couple of weeks, he was a full participant. Stephon Gilmore, he was out with for rest purposes. And Mike McCarthy had said, I believe it was either yesterday or on Monday, that they're going to start incorporating a lot more veteran rest days on Wednesday. So Stephon Gilmore, one of those. Peyton Hendershot, who's battling his ankle injury, did not practice. I'm starting to feel like this is going to be a multi-week type deal for him. Wouldn't expect to see him on Sunday against the 49ers. Malik Hooker, safety, shoulder injury was limited yesterday. That's new. CeeDee Lamb did not practice yesterday. He was listed as rest, but also a knee injury. So maybe we'll find out a little bit more about that. Hopefully it was just a rest day, as we've talked about with these veteran rest days. DeMarcus Lawrence, veteran rest day, did not practice. Zach Martin, he had, quote, rest day and a thigh injury, did not practice. He left the game against the Patriots with a quad injury. We'll see how serious that is today, probably, if he returns to the practice field. Micah Parsons, who tweaked his knee in the Patriots game but ended up coming back into the game, he was limited yesterday, but when we talked to Mike McCarthy yesterday, he said that he's good to go as far as playing on Sunday as of now. And then Tyron Smith did not practice with his knee injury. He also had the rest designation on there as well.
Just a few guys.
Yeah. So that's like
they added in Hankins like later in the night. Mm-hmm. There was like a
yeah.
It was just and it was another rest one. But out of those 12, I still would say there's only three of them that I would think are in.
Can, thanks, John.
It's 12.
Out of the 12,
23%.
Yeah, it's 12. But I'll be honest with you, I could be wrong on this, but I don't remember a lot of these rest guys being put on this list before.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? So if you take those away, it's not. It's crazy, but anyway, so if there's 12 names on the list, but I think there's only three that you would think of that potentially couldn't play, and I would say that'd be Peyton Hendershot, Tyron Smith, and Rico Dowdle. Everybody else in here, Zach Martin, Damone Clark,
yeah.
Stephon Gilmore, Malik Hooker, CD, Lawrence, Parsons. I mean, Micah said he was fine yesterday.
Yeah.
Said he was feeling great after getting treatment and things like that. So, and I mean, there's a lot of names in there, but
we would get to talk to CD today as
yeah.
well. So,
yeah.
I mean, you'll get to hear about the knee and whatever that ends up being. That's the first time he's popped up as a as really any designation outside of just the rest of practice. Because
yeah,
I believe he had a rest.
Last week he had a rest day too.
But I mean, Mike said that this was going to start. Now, I mean, this is a normal thing that there will be veteran rest days on Wednesday, and they'll continue that moving forward as the season goes along. But, yeah, I mean, and then limited in practice, you mentioned Damone Clark, Malik Hooker, Micah. As long as those guys are good to go, I think I feel pretty good about it. And CD, of course, on that list as well. But, I mean, for the most part, anybody's kind of concern you just in the fact that they were on the list, period. My number one is probably CD. I think everybody else I kind of anticipated to be on
the
list.
Yeah, we'll find out more about CD, as you said today. But no, not really. I would say Malik Hooker was the one surprise for me. But again, we'll probably find out more from McCarthy. We had talked to McCarthy about Damone Clark earlier in the week. He said he's good. He'll probably just be limited on Wednesday. So I have no concern about him playing on Sunday as of right now. For our next news and note, Kyle Shanahan was talking to the media yesterday. And again, a phenomenal tweet here by the man next to me, John Machota. And Shanahan was asked, is it tough facing someone that you know so well and he knows you so well? Is it one of those things like he knows I want to do this or he knows that I know a little bit? Shanahan replied, a little bit. But it's different when you're not in the division. At least it's not twice a year, unless you meet in the playoffs and stuff. I think Dan and I got to go against each other twice here in Dallas, and it's always a huge challenge. We'll get into it throughout the week, and we touched on it a lot yesterday as far as the San Francisco offense versus the Dallas defense. But Shanahan's definitely talking up this matchup and showed a lot of respect for Dan Quinn in this press availability yesterday.
Hmm. Interesting. Any thoughts there?
Mm-mm. Just mutual respect. Yeah. I mean, everybody knows it's going to be a dogfight. I mean, you heard, I think there was a quote by Trent Williams yesterday that said it's an ice bag game. I mean, you just know what it's going to be. I mean, the players are preparing for a physical battle, and the coaches are preparing themselves for a mental battle. I mean, it's literally going to be a chess match on the sidelines and in the booths, and then it's going to be a freaking dogfight on the field between the players. I mean, everybody knows what this means, and they know what this means in terms of a temp check, in terms of knowing exactly where you stand at this point of the season, how you match up physically, scheme-wise. It's just a test for both teams. I think they're looking for affirmation as to what they've been doing so far, and Dallas is looking for the same thing. You know, Dallas dropped one game, they haven't dropped any games, you know. So, I mean, this is just a battle of them dudes, man, going head to head.
Yeah, and Dan Quinn, arguably the best defensive coach in the league against Kyle Shanahan, arguably the best offensive coach mm-hmm. in the league. They know each other well. That obviously is going to be a fascinating chess match. It has been the last 2 years, so why would it be any different? Kind of a side note on that, because you brought up the Trent Williams quote. When Tony Pollard was talking yesterday, no disrespect to the Commanders, but I was a little surprised. He was asked about what's another ice bag type game, and he said Washington. And it was interesting to me because I just don't think of that game like that. You know, obviously I'm not out there playing, but I thought that was a little Yeah. That wouldn't have been the next one that I would have thought of.
I found that interesting as well. I was actually thinking about that this morning whenever he said that. I was like, so when Washington Week comes around, that's going to be my first question to Paul. Yeah. I was like, what do you mean by that? Yeah.
Well, I mean, that front seven from Washington has been good since he got here.
For sure.
So, yeah. I mean, if there was one strength to that team, it would be the front seven. So I can see why Tony Pollard specifically, he's looking up and he's seeing Chase Young, Deron Payne, and those guys up front. I mean, there's guys that he's going to run straight into in that regard. But
speaking of Tony Pollard, my final news and note, we got to talk to him yesterday, obviously. And he kind of reminisced on the injury a little bit that he suffered against San Francisco in January in that playoff game late in the second quarter. And if you guys remember, they were driving into the red zone. Pollard had taken a reception across the middle and was tackled. Left leg got caught up under the defender, broke his left leg, and sprained his ankle. On the very next play, Dak Prescott throws an interception, and they end up going into the half tied instead of going into the half with a lead. Tony was asked about it yesterday and just, you know, his mindset around the whole thing. He said it was frustrating, especially when I got hurt. We were in the red zone about to score on a drive. We had a good drive going, and then that killed the momentum. I kind of felt like I let my team down. Mm. It hurt. And then later in the availability, he was asked to kind of dive deeper into that. He's like, why did it hurt? It hurt because you're so invested. You have so much invested into the season. You know you've got goals and you know who you want to be, but it hurts once you get it cut short like that. Mostly I was just frustrated because I couldn't help the team and be out there to get a win. So I bring this up just with the sense of him returning to the scene of the injury, you know, on Sunday night. I would love to see a big game from Tony Pollard. That would be really, really cool to see.
What would you classify as a big game?
A big game would be, you know, 100 yards against that defense, a couple touchdowns. I mean, taking over that game. We've talked about all week about how Dak Prescott needs to take that next step. But what if Tony Pollard does it for him, you know, and they're able to have that facilitation out of the backfield? I think it could be either or.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see if he doesn't get hurt on that play. They go down and score a touchdown, take a touchdown lead into halftime just because they did such a great job in that first half against McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. And really, McCaffrey only had the one drive. It was like their second possession. It was like late in the third quarter where he really kind of gained some steam. Maybe you don't even get to that if you're playing from behind. You know, maybe you do, and maybe it's a dogfight to the very end. But it just would have been interesting to see what would have happened if Tony didn't get hurt.
Do you think at least one more score on the board, and we're talking about OT as opposed to where it was at the end of that ball game?
Probably. The other factor with the Pollard is that while he has obviously a ton of value this year on that particular team, I mean, you got to remember them coming up short there too factors into them going to get Brandon Cooks. I don't care what anybody says. They needed more help. They needed more weapons. So when you took him away, it was going to be so tough to replace. And there wasn't, you know, the whole, oh, well, just next guy up here, Malik Davis, Zeke will carry it or whatever. Like, they weren't playing on the level that Tony Pollard was, and they didn't have that other receiver either. You know, there was hope that T.Y. Hilton would keep coming along and that would, you know, and then Michael Gallup wasn't playing like he was the year before. You didn't get anything from Jalen Tolbert. So it was like really C.D., Dalton Schultz, and Tony Pollard were your weapons. And to lose one of those, man, that was a huge blow.
Yeah, I mean, by that point in the game, Pollard had 6 carries for 22 yards, which doesn't sound like a lot, but that's nearly 4 yards per pop against that San Francisco defense. And he already had 2 catches for 11 yards as well, so he'd already been utilized in the passing game too. Nobody on the San Francisco side averaged more than 4 yards per carry, or even close to 4 yards per carry. They were all held underneath that 3.7 mark that Tony had. So, yeah, Dallas did what they needed to do in stopping the run, and Tony Pollard certainly was the weapon that they really needed back in the fold. Let's kind of talk about that a little bit here because that was the final news and note, right?
Correct.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this Cowboys offense and the San Francisco defense because this might be that X factor matchup. This is going to be what decides this football game, which offense can have the most success against these vaulted Cowboys and 49ers defenses. Isaiah is going to break it down for us when we come back right after this.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. That's blackriflecoffee.com to fuel up today.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys, and now he's on his phone on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Back here on Talkin' Cowboys, this portion of the show is brought to you by Quaker Oats, a super trusted superfood. Quaker Oats, the official oatmeal sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys. It's also brought to you by Dallas Cowboys Fan of the Year, presented by Captain Morgan. We've got Nick Harris, John Machota, Isaiah Stanback, Chris Beam in the back, and Kyle Yeomans. All right, Isaiah. Break it down for us. Cowboys offense versus the San Francisco 49ers defense. We'll start with the defensive side. What does San Fran do well?
San Fran is a very aggressive team. San Fran is very, I would say, probably one of the more cockier defenses in the league. When I say that, I mean that they are fully confident in their abilities individually, and they come together as a team to play very, very aggressive. How can I state that better? The defensive line does some very unorthodox things in terms of alignments. So you have your traditional 4-3 alignments, you know, your one technique, your three technique, typically shaded to the tight end or away from the tight end, depending on whether they're going over or under. But these guys sometimes will mix with that, right? They'll mess around with that a little bit. They'll go a three technique and a five technique. So they'll leave the middle of their defensive line vacant. And it's kind of jarring when you watch it on film, because it's like, well, I just run straight up the middle. I don't know, you know, if you're going to be, if I'm coming up and you're going a three and a five technique in the middle, you know, the whole middle of the, my guards are almost uncovered and my center is uncovered. I could just work up to the next level. But typically when they do that, they have really wide nine techniques. They want to get wide, right? They want to get, they want to get Bosa outside coming down on your defense end. They want Drake Jackson. They want him outside as well. But typically when they do that, they're stunning across. Right. So even though it looks vacant, they're coming down hard across your face with Javon Hargrave and Eric Armstead. Those dudes are freaking dudes. Obviously, we know Armstead because we faced him the last few times. And Hargrave just decided to leave Philly and take a trip over to the West Coast to join that outfit as well. And the combination of those two guys is pretty serious. They have a solid front, obviously, with those two big fellas in the middle with their movement. They're not doing a ton of stunts. Right, they're not like our defense. Most people are used to seeing our defense crossing phase, bringing a guy around. That's how they're trying to. That's how we typically try to free up Micah Parsons and D-Law. We do a lot of stunts, right? We confuse the offensive line in terms of, okay, can you pass off these responsibilities? They don't necessarily do that. They're either coming downhill straight at you, or they're taking their inside guys and they're trying to cut across your face and really try to get some penetration that way by drawing double teams and then freeing up their defensive ends. So that's something that you have to be able to take care of up front. If they decide to come out in that 3-5 technique, you have to keep those guys outside. You have to know they're going to try to cross your face, and then they're going to Warner and the guys at the second level are going to be coming in like heat-seeking missiles. Those guys play fast. They're aggressive, but they're not very big. So I think as physical as those guys are at the second level, if you can handle the first level, you can run the ball on these guys. I truly believe that. I don't think too many teams challenge them in that regard because they have those two dogs in the middle, mm-hmm. but you can get after them. Now, I say that, you whatever you typically do, and this is where it comes in, the positive side for us having not having shown a whole lot offensively, Schottenheimer and also Coach McCarthy. If you come out in sets that they're familiar with seeing on film, they will blow up your entire play. And that mainly comes from Bosa. There are literally plays, and we'll break this down on film room this week. I'm going to expose some things defensively on the film in terms of how we can take advantage of them. But Bosa will literally call out what you're doing and literally change whatever front they have. He will move his alignment because he knows what the play is.
Hmm.
Literally will change the play. Like, he will just say, okay, I'm supposed to be outside in the wide technique. Nah, screw that. I'm coming down into a seven. And then I'm going to stunt across the face of the tight end and the tackle, and I'm blow this play up, this running play in the backfield, and almost just take the handoff from you. So you have to be very on cue in terms of mixing up your motions and your formations. If there are things that you want to get to formationally, you can't just line up in it. Right, you have to show some things that they're unfamiliar with. That way they can at least be having their head on a swivel a little bit and make them second guess what their film study has been. So that's really in the core. So I believe you can run the ball at them, but you have to be aggressive and get your pads low.
It honestly makes me think back to what you talked about offensive line-wise and the scheme that San Francisco runs from an offensive front and the way that they pull these guards and the mm-hmm. way that they have a ton of misdirection yeah. and eye candy and the movement up front. And you can see that on the film. But you flip it to the defense, it's almost very similar. It's movement and motion mm-hmm. and things of the sort that just keep the quarterback, keep the yeah. opposing offense a little bit on their heels
yep.
before they run their play.
Yeah, for sure. But they're not doing a whole lot of disguising, right? They're not trying to trick you on defense.
It's different from what we've seen from teams like Arizona, yeah. New York.
Correct.
Those two teams would disguise yeah. more so.
It's not a lot of disguise. Like, these guys are just going to line up and just – hey, I'm better than you, and I'm going to prove it every play. That's their mindset.
They don't blitz a whole lot either.
They don't.
Do they?
They do not. They do not. That's what I'm saying. They're just fully confident in, hey, we're going to play some base. And so that was pretty much the front seven. And let's take it out to the secondary. They don't do a lot in the secondary. They want to play man. They want to walk up in your face and say, I'm going to come up. I'm going to put hands on you at the line of scrimmage. I bet you can't get off the ball before my guys get to your quarterback. That's their mentality. And they do that with Lenore. What's his name? Diamodor. I don't know how to pronounce his name. My apologies. Lenore, number two, and Charvarius Ward. Those two guys, 2 and 7, those guys are physical. Super physical. Physical to the point where I think they take the mentality of who used to do this? Was it Dennis
Seattle?
Rodman in basketball back in the day? Dennis Rodman was like, if I hold you every play, right, they're not gonna call a foul every
hey,
play.
I could be wrong on this. I really thought that was Legion of Boom though too. Yeah, I really thought absolutely. The way the Legion of Boom yeah. played their defense in Seattle, it was like, you won't call all of this
yeah.
with Earl Thomas on the back end and Cam Chancellor
yeah, right.
and those guys like that, Richard Sherman,
yep.
you know.
Yeah, so what we're talking about right now is if I come up and Kyle's a receiver and I come up, say you're CD Lamb, I come up and I'm going to hold you, right? I'm going to grab your jersey. I'm going to grab you at the line of scrimmage. I'm going to ride you all the way to the 5 yards. But then guess what? I'm going to take it past the 5 yards. I'm going to go 6-7 yards. And guess what? I might get called once. I might get called twice.
Maybe.
Maybe twice the entire game.
But if it's
game.
6 or 7 yards, it's,
yeah,
it's even like, touchy there.
But that's what they're doing.
Mm.
They are, when I say riding, I mean literally like scared straight, hold my pocket square. Like that's what they're doing right now. And they're, I don't know if you guys remember that
you
show.
You went right back yeah. into scared straight.
Yeah, scared straight. You remember the episode where he made a little kid
yeah.
hold his pocket?
Yeah.
He's like, hold my pocket.
Yeah.
Like that's what they're doing.
Pretty,
and they're
pretty traumatizing moment.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So, but that's literally
he remembers Isaiah it much differently.
Yeah. So,
you
this
see
is
him going through the filing cabinet in
yeah,
his head
like,
of like,
I'm
all right, what's the
this.
Reference? What's
yeah.
the reference?
Absolutely.
Save this
here
person.
It is.
Yeah.
But this goes back to my point earlier in the week where I said that I'm not sure that what we've been doing offensively is going to work mm-hmm. against San Francisco from the receiver standpoint. Because if you're running 5 to 7 yard routes, well, guess what? They are holding you for 5 to 7 yards. They're in your hip pocket for 5 to 7 yards. So there's no separation being created unless you can literally just beat these guys off the line of scrimmage. So let's take our fair share. We've been throwing the ball about 35 times a game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So out of 35 passes, if I'm holding you, call it 25 times, and most of your routes are 5 to 7 yards, I'm going to have a pretty good shot at denying your ability to get open. right? I know CD worked on his releases a lot this offseason, but based upon running out routes, slant routes, right, little fades, it's not a high probability that I'm going to beat you off the ball a lot, right? So some of these routes are going to have to get pushed down the way, right? So knowing that, CD, you have to win at the line of scrimmage. B. Cooks, this might be a great game for B. Cooks to be able to get to win some. Jalen Tolbert might come into the play this week in terms of having a big body receiver, big physical receiver, but he's going to have to turn on that physical aspect. But these guys want to play man. They want to come up. They want to play man. When they're not playing man and they go too high, it's usually because they're either ahead. When they go ahead, they like to go two safeties. They like to play bend but don't break, right? We talked about that with New England. As soon as they get ahead about a little bit over, probably about 10 points, they play off. They play off, and you can have your way with them. They will give yards all day long. You can run out routes, hitch routes, all that stuff. They'll give you that stuff all day long as soon as they go too high safety. It's either going to be cover four or it's going to be a variation, or it's going to be cover six, variation of four and two on the other side.
Quick question.
Yeah.
You're talking about the physicality of the guys on the boundary specifically. Correct. Would it be more beneficial to have a guy like CD that has that really inept release ability and he's added to it over the offseason? Or would you rather have Michael Gallup, who's got a little bit more physicality on the boundary, throw it up to him and see what he can do?
Yeah, I think that you'll have opportunity for some jump balls against these guys. I truly do, because their safeties, if as long as you can keep it out the middle of the field, their safeties aren't going to get too involved. The guys that are on the edges, you know, talking about who was I just talking about? For Ward and Lenore. Those two guys, they don't have a lot of awareness in terms of the ball. They literally just want to grab you and hold you and ride you. Like, they take pride in denying you in that regard. They're not concerned about the ball. They're concerned about getting into it one-on-one with you. So I believe that you will have some opportunities for some jump balls, and you can probably, those are 50-50 balls in terms of catching, but once you throw it up there, if those guys are pulling and holding, you have a great probability of getting a flag as well. So I think this is the game to get out of the West Coast a little bit more than we have to date, because I think you'll have an opportunity for Gallup to get some jump balls, Tolbert to get some jump balls, CD to get some jump balls.
Or, wait, push downfield.
But to that point, okay, so that's a great transition. So that's in the secondary. But when they do decide to pressure, they have a great understanding of your offensive blocking scheme. So very much so, like Dan Quinn, we showed some things where Dan Quinn was able. No, it was Dan. It was New England, where they did a good job of coming up and knowing what you were doing protection wise and drawing your offensive lineman to your attention.
It's a head
fake. Linebackers, the head fake, right? Drawing you up and then backing off. They do the same exact thing, except for instead of that guy backing off, they'll line Warner up, right? They'll go those wide techniques. They'll go to 3 and 5. Put Bosa on the outside. Put Bosa coming off the edge. Walk Warner up in the middle, okay? Draw that guard. As soon as that guard comes to Warner, he'll go and literally, instead of rushing and going in the running back, picking him up, he will go and push the offensive tackle off of Bosa. He will do this. Like, as soon as they know there's a five-man protection, instead of rushing, okay, once they draw that guy, the guard goes somewhere else, the running back's supposed to go and take him. Warner literally has a clear shot at the quarterback, except for the running back impeding his ability to get there. Instead of taking that rush, he would much rather free up Bosa. So he passes up the rush. He will go and literally push the tackle, right? All his energy, go on that inside shoulder, push the tackle, and Bosa will come off of his butt. And then you have your running back trying to block Bosa. That's what they want to do. So their scheme isn't necessarily get anybody home except for Bosa. Hmm. And their whole schemes are to free him up. He is their game wrecker.
So it takes a good read from a guy like Warner to diagnose that post-snap.
Yep.
Once the snap happens, he's got to diagnose, all right, there's a five-man front coming my way, and this is the running back. And then he's got to make the split-second decision to try and help out 97.
Absolutely.
Get there and help out Bosa.
And that's why I'm saying from the protection standpoint and from the receiver standpoint, in terms of your schemes, your passing game, you have to change up what you've been doing. You have to change up what you're doing. You have to push the ball down the field more. Otherwise, you're going to have a lot of contested passes. And you have to change up your blocking scheme a little bit. Otherwise, these guys are going to pick apart, and you're going to have Bosa having a field day. You can go out there and chip them. There is some film of guys going out there and getting some good chips. But that's not something that you're going to do every single play.
Yeah. Right? You think that this is a game where potentially Dak gets out of the pocket more just to maybe buy some time to get some of those receivers more open if there's nothing there, or possibly use his legs to run more?
There are. So the weakness of this defense, and again, check out film room this week, because you'll be able to see it better.
Yeah.
When they decide to play coverage, okay, they're playing man. One thing about man is the cornerbacks can't see what's behind them. right? Once they get their shoulders turned to the sideline, now I'm running. Say CD runs a go, my back is turned to the original line of scrimmage. I can't see what's behind me anymore. Their weakness defensively is their second level defenders, okay? Their linebackers, Warner and Greenlaw. Those guys are really good. They're fast, they're physical, but they give a lot. They give a ton. So shallow routes, right? Under routes. If you are going to go into the West Coast game, you have to go into your drive concepts. Less of the outbreaking stuff, more of the stuff across the middle, because their linebackers end up dropping about 10 to 12 yards off the ball. So you have an opportunity to hit B. Cooks on a nice little 5-yard shallow route across the center, get him the ball in his hands and let him run with it, right? But that's how you have to attack these guys. The middle of their defense is weak coverage-wise. And that's how I believe that you can win, because I think you can run the ball against them as long as you can get up to that second level, mm-hmm. and don't let them stun across your face.
Tall task.
Yeah, tall task. But they do expose themselves when they line up wide, right? Well, as soon as they vacate that middle, you know, okay, they're not going to leave the middle vacant. They're not blitzing up the middle. At least they haven't shown that, right? So most of the time, as soon as I get you in that 3-5 technique, I just got to keep you out there. Right, and I need Martin to be take care of his business. I need Tyler Smith to take care of his business. Keep those guys out there, and Biotis, I need you to go pick off one of those linebackers. Right, just get up to the next level, and then TP, you got to make one of those linebackers miss.
Yeah,
it's
that easy.
All right, thanks, boom. Guys.
That's how you win the game.
Cowboys are now 4-1, and we're moving on to face the Chargers on Monday Night Football. I want to go back to one of the talking points you just mentioned with Fred Warner kind of helping Bosa off of his block. One, how unique is that? Is that something that a lot of teams have done in the past that you've seen, period? And two, if Dallas wanted to copycat league this thing, mm-hmm. and just take this, how well would that work with Leighton Vander Esch, Damone Clark, and trying to free up a guy like Micah Parsons?
Oh, I mean, it works really well. It works well. because you're so locked in. So I'm trying to figure out how to say this over the air and make it make sense. Mm-hmm. Imagine Bosa outside of your tackle on the right side.
Yeah.
Okay. Bosa's outside of your tackle. The nearest defender is in a 3 technique. So he's inside, right? Inside of your guard. Okay. Pretty much.
So there's a big gap.
There's a huge gap between your tackle and your guard, right? So all of a sudden Warner inserts himself. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the 3 technique has to get taken by your guard. So your right guard goes left, your right tackle goes right, right? There's a big void right there. Warner, instead of running straight towards your running back, who's now responsible for him in pass protection, Warner sprints and literally just puts his weight on the inside left hip of your right tackle. Just runs through the left hip of your tackle.
And then it allows Bosa to scrape off of that.
Absolutely. But where's your running back going? Your running back's going to get who?
To the hole.
Your running back's going to Warner.
Sure.
That's right. So as Warner goes to the right, your running back goes to the right.
So then there's a huge
hole. So then there's a whole huge hole. So now the person that's responsible for Bosa is now pushed off his mark. He can't get back, right? And then you have Bosa coming inside with your running back off balance. It's a cold combination, but you have to choose right.
And I think what hurts here even more is if Rico Dowdle can't go, because then you're relying on Tony Pollard down for down, or maybe trying to get Hunter Lipke involved in pass protection. But that's tough.
Yeah.
Bosa doesn't need that.
No, he doesn't.
I'm saying, but what if in the game he doesn't need that because he's just routinely winning his one-on-one?
Yeah, I mean, and this, again, this, what I'm mentioning, what I'm describing is just a changeup, right? This is just a changeup. This is not something that they do every single time.
Yeah.
But this is one of the ways they create pressure without blitzing.
Yeah.
This is how they create pressure without blitzing. They will blitz occasionally.
Sure.
It's not their thing. And the reason why it's not their thing is because a lot of times they're playing man-to-man. And when you're playing man-to-man and you're blitzing, you're leaving a lot of freaking gaping holes, right? Big plays happen. So they much rather put pressure with 5 guys instead of their 6 or 7 guys that they want to bring, right? So they're not going to expose themselves in that regard. But again, going back to the film, and we'll highlight this again, the middle of their field is vacant. It's booty butt naked vacant. And the outsides are also vacant. But you got to give your guys a chance to win. You can't dink and dunk on the outside unless you see them playing too high. Too high safety, they're playing cover 4 a majority of the time, playing off and inside. Not even off and outside. They're playing off and inside. So all your hitches, your comebacks, all that stuff is just literally pass and catch. You just got to make sure you protect and give Dak time to get the ball off.
That's the biggest key, I think, is as long as you give time to get the ball away and you're able to maybe push it down the field a little bit more, things should open up for this offense. When we come back, though, with all of this being said about San Francisco defensively, who could be in store for a big game on the Dallas offensive side, and who can take advantage of some of these mismatches? When we come back with more Talking Cowboys right after this.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a coffee club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to BlackRifleCoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free five-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is four of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at GetJackBlack.com/Cowboys with the code CowboysVIP. That's GetJackBlack.com/Cowboys with the code CowboysVIP.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
This segment is brought to you by Invisalign, the official smile of the Dallas Cowboys. Welcome into the final segment of Talkin' Cowboys. By the way, speaking of Invisalign, my final trade.
Hey, high five.
All right. Nice. All right.
Look at those teeth. Look at those, huh?
Yeah.
You made it.
Thank you, Invisalign. Appreciate it.
Look at those things. Woo!
That's just a year, a little bit of change. Look
at that. Those things almost like fake. They're so perfect.
It's nice. I like it. The Invisalign, I will say, this is not, they don't pay me any extra money, even though I wish they would. It's the best thing I could have done for my teeth. It was incredible. And it was super easy, not painful.
You were diligent.
The slightest,
I got next.
Yeah, come on with it. Yeah, it was great. I highly, highly recommend it. All right. Back here with Nick Harris, Isaiah Standback, John Machota, Chris Beam in the back, and Kyle Yeomans. What?
I'm like, now Nick says that Invisalign, they hook us all up, and Kyle's like, dang it, I just paid for mine.
That'll be the next step. They'll be like, all right, Nick gets it, Isaiah, John, all right. And they'll be like, all right, thanks, guys.
Closed mouths don't get fed.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
That's what you did there.
See? Yeah, you like
that? Invisalign, that's good.
Well done. You know, I'm learning.
Yeah. All right. Based off of what Isaiah laid out in that last segment, Nick, who do you feel like has the best opportunity for this Cowboys offense to have success on Sunday?
Man, I feel like I've been saying it 3 weeks in a row now.
Hunter Lipke.
Brandon Cooks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Hunter Lipke. Brandon Cooks. There's going to be opportunities for him. You were talking about the speed in the second level for San Francisco. I like Dallas' speed more, even not only in the second level, but in the secondary as well. Yeah. You know, if you can fight off that contact that you were talking about in the secondary, there's going to be a lot of opportunities to get up and downfield and get some big plays, I feel like. But it's, again, being able to control things up front. If Dak just has a sliver of more time than what San Francisco has provided other quarterbacks so far this season, then I feel like he can do what he can do. And that's what this offense is predicated around. We've talked about it so much. But I think Brandon Cooks, he has a really good opportunity to finally break open and have a big game.
Jerry talked about that earlier in the week as well. I mean, he was asked on the 105.3 The Fan interview about Brandon Cooks and have you been surprised it's taken this long to get to that point? And he said, no, this is something that I think was anticipated. Part of that is probably a little bit of Jerry just trying to pump up the player and give some confidence there. But I do agree. When you watch the film of Brandon Cooks, he's not losing battles. That's not the point. It's the fact that he hasn't been either in the right spot for Dak Prescott to see him or the pressure's there from an offensive line standpoint. I think I agree with you. I think Brandon Cooks has an awesome opportunity this week to put up some numbers. He may not have triple digits, but I'm sure he could get some more targets. He can reel in a couple more passes and just be more of a productive piece of that offense moving into this matchup.
I have B. Cooks at between 119 to 127 yards this weekend.
That's not a very large window.
That's a lot.
Wow.
I do.
You want to make a bet on that? I already made a Pete and T2 bet. It's your turn.
Yeah. It was close.
You don't ever want to go full. I foresee it.
If they utilize him the way in which I know he can be utilized, I think he's tired of not getting opportunities. I mentioned this last week. I think that was the last week where he was like, hey, if I don't get the ball this week, he's probably going to start speaking up a little bit. I think this is the week that he has his hello Dallas party. Mm. And I think from the standpoint of what they do, I think CD becomes more of the decoy this week. Not to say that he doesn't get the ball, but I think this is the game where you're like, okay, go ahead, focus in on CD. Right? We'll since we're running B Cooks on 5-yard routes anyway, majority of the time, let's go ahead and throw him on a little shallow. Put him on a short split, run him on a shallow, because when you go condensed split against these guys, they back off. That's one thing I didn't mention last segment. When you go condensed splits, they back off because they're playing man, they're trying to in and out it. Right, and they get confused sometimes. So if you come down in a short split, it's like, okay, me and Nick, like, all right, here we go. So whoever comes out to me,
explain a short split just for those at home.
So like when the receiver's closer to the tight end, right? Yeah. So instead of being all the way out wide out to the sideline, you bring him down like you make it easier for him to get across the field on a shallow route or a drive route, right? So he's closer to the box. That's probably the best way to say it. So he's able to get across the formation quicker. But when you do that, it's a lot more difficult to play lock man, right? Meaning that, hey, I have Kyle. All right, you have Nick, okay? As soon as they come down to a short split, they can crisscross. So in order for us not to run into each other, we now have to back up and say, oh, hey, okay, now let's sort this thing out, right? Whoever, if somebody comes your way, you take them. If he comes my way, I take them. But the switch releases mix all that up, and they're trying to figure that out, right? So as soon as, you know, Kyle and Nick switch, it's like, oh, okay, I got this guy, right? And I know when I was with Wes Welker would put himself in motion just to figure out who was going to be in and who was going to be out. And he would tell me in his motion to switch my release that we had mapped out, right? Yeah. If I was supposed to go inside normally, he would literally run motion, and he would check it out, and on his way back, he'd be like, out, 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 out. And he was talking to me saying, okay, instead of running your inside release on this route, go outside because I'm about to screw the crap out of these guys. Because I know I now know by doing my motion, I was able to determine who's responsible for me. And since I know who's responsible for me, I'm about to mix them up.
And then you were like, no, Wes, this is my time. I'm doing what I want to do.
Heck to the no.
You listen to me, buddy. Yeah.
There is one play that, going back to that they've done earlier this season, where Ferguson runs that rub that gets CD wide open on the sideline like that. And they really haven't come back to something like that again. So that interests me also because of just the fact of in those two games against San Francisco, these last two, that's 18 targets combined, 8 in one game, 10 in the other for Dalton Schultz. Mm-hmm. And Ferguson's coming off of this, you know, career game, 7 targets, 7 catches, 77 yards. I think he's a guy to also potentially have maybe a surprise game there. There were a lot of opportunities in both those games for Dalton Schultz, you know.
I'm excited. You brought this memory back up. I mean, we talked about it after that. It was the first game of the year. It was against the Giants, I believe, when you're talking about that rubber out with CD that opened things up.
Yep.
We were saying, wow, the Cowboys as a team have not run the rub route. They haven't run those legal picks, as you would say in the NFL. Pick is not allowed, but you can run a rub route.
You have to be running a route. You can't just run at somebody. And you see it a lot in the college game where guys are just like right off the snap. You're just like, you can't just go run out and block. They're going to call it every time. But if you make it look like you're running a route to where you're going, then, yeah, they won't call it. But Patriots always feel like we're great with that.
Yeah, the Patriots have always been really good at it. I mean, there's teams. I think the Eagles do it really well now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you take what they've done, the Cowboys have done in the past. They haven't run those rub routes the same way. And we looked at it in week one and said, wow, okay, here we go. The new scheme, new offense, West Coast. Here it comes, rub routes. This is going to be great. We haven't seen it since, or at least to that success. Yeah. We haven't seen it since.
And I know people don't want to hear this, but the reality is, I'm sorry, and I know I'll see Coach McCarthy later. He'll probably look at me sideways, but they've been saving a lot. I feel, this is my feeling, okay, they went through the first part of this season knowing that what they had was probably enough. And as the game started to play out, they realized that, okay, we don't have to display a lot of the things that we maybe even we already were planning on holding back, but now we can hold back even more.
Yeah, three of the four games.
Yeah, three of the four games. Yeah. Defense balled out.
I mean, sounds like you read Nick at Night this week.
But I mean, if you look,
is that what it is? Yeah.
If you even look at the last few years, like the Cowboys have gotten off to hot starts, and then there just hasn't been something for the answer late in the year, and they've kind of gone into the playoffs not playing their best ball, whereas the San Francisco or Philadelphia at times they were playing their best ball. So to me, it does make sense to maybe save some things so that you do have something that's not like, oh, well, we've seen them run that 1,000 times in this situation. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what the Cowboys are going to do.
That's the great thing about the West Coast offense, though, right? So as soon as we heard about the West Coast offense, you asked Kyle, I got super excited because there's so many things that you can do.
Isaiah threw a party.
Oh, my gosh, West Coast party. It's I mean,
had in and no, it didn't. Had Whataburger.
You could run the same concept, right? You could run the same concept 10 different ways easily. And for you, your responsibilities are exactly the same. My confidence level in running the route is uber high because I've ran this route a gazillion times. I'm not changing what I'm doing. I'm changing the way it looks to you, right? So with that, these guys can do a whole lot. They can do. They can line up in a freaking double formation. Mm-hmm. They can shift. They can shift from that. Then they can motion over to a bunch set. I mean, they could do a whole lot of things and run the exact same routes. Only thing they're changing is, hey, how we line up, what we shift to, what we're going to motion to. Defense has to figure out a whole lot. They're changing between one call. We're going man. Okay, no, we're going two. Okay, no, we're going back to four. Okay, just go four, back up. Okay, cool. We got you. Boom, under route. Let's go. 10 yards. All right, move the chains. Next play. Right? And then you just got to – one thing that Dallas has to do is be patient, be willing to take the little small game, right, underneath, be willing to play the small game. Don't get into all this talking up front. Because that front seven is going to talk. Mm-hmm. The front seven is going to do this all day long. And the DBs are going to talk. They want to grab you and hold you. CD has to have the highest emotional intelligence that he's had to date. Because they're going to be in his ear. And they're going to try to get him out of his game. And I think he's working out of that. I think there's only one game this year where you saw him kind of revert back a little bit.
It's a loss. Yeah. It's to Arizona.
Yeah, well, he was really frustrated, right? Just be emotionally high. Right, and just put your blockers on and go on to the next play because these guys want to get you talking. It's going to be a crazy atmosphere. Just execute your game plan. Just freaking execute your game plan. And I think you would get these guys looking around like, oh, crap, this just got real.
Yeah. I love this stuff, man. I really do. I love looking into this matchup and looking at the little intricacies of what this game can entail because everybody's going to be watching. Everyone will be watching. There's going to be 30 million people watching on Sunday Night Football between the 49ers and the Cowboys. But there's only going to be a select few that watch Talking Cowboys and really know what's going on and really know how to dissect what's happening on that field in Santa Clara at Levi's Stadium. All right, gentlemen. John, have fun this weekend.
Oh, I will.
Yeah? Are you excited for a West Coast trip?
I am. I'm always excited to go out to the Bay.
Oh, yeah.
See some water, you know? Yeah. Little E-40.
Yeah?
No. Yeah, I am.
If you say E-40, tell them I said, what's up, man.
I will do that.
Tell them what's up.
Yeah. That's good.
Hey, if you go up to E-40 and get it on film and you say, ooh,
yeah.
I'll give you $100.
And he just slaps me in the face. And he says, don't ever do that again.
Who are you?
All right. We'll be back tomorrow with more Talking Cowboys. We've got to say it with your chest. Friday, we'll have some under-the-radar matchups to keep an eye on, and we'll also make our pick-ems and update the standings as well. We'll see if Isaiah and I were still tied for the lead in the pick-em standings, see what's going on.
I heard somebody had a good week.
Who was it?
Oh, we'll find out tomorrow.
We'll find out tomorrow. Hey. I like it. For Chris Beam, Isaiah Stanback, John Machota, Nick Harris, I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long from the Star in Frisco. We'll see you tomorrow with more Talking Cowboys.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!